Good morning, and I'm delighted to be back with all of you here and to see the marvelous growth in the parish, which I'm not surprised by, but I'm delighted to see. You have three outstanding priests here at the parish, as you know, not the least of which is present on the altar today, a very fine young priest. And I'm delighted to be here with you all once again. I am a Capuchin, so some people have been asking after the Masses, which order do you belong to? So I am a Capuchin, the same order as St. Padre Pio, and we're about 10,000 worldwide, and I'm currently serving in Puerto Rico at the moment. And pray for me, I wasn't there for that reason, but I've turned out to be the chaplain for the Latin Mass community in Old San Juan. So say prayer for us. We're trying to do some growth. We're not nearly this size, but you know how it all begins, right? So keep us in your prayers, please. With the election of our current Holy Father, the founder of my religious order has come into the fore once again in the church as a model of renewal and reform. And certainly in the 13th century, St. Francis of Assisi was one of the most prophetic and prolific and profound apostles of reform within the church and for its mission. Unfortunately for our founder, in the modern period, his persona has often been hijacked and distorted in such a way that he wouldn't even recognize himself in the mirror of the current portrayal of St. Francis of Assisi. Franco Zeffirelli produced a film, maybe some of you are aware of it, back in the 1970s called Brother, Sun, and Sister Moon. And this is an image of St. Francis that even St. Francis would have even recognized. But unfortunately, sometimes that's the reputation he gets. And we're going to do our best this week to dispel some of that and to give you a real picture of who he was. I'm going to draw on really, the classic biography was a Capuchin scholar, Father Cuthbert, a very classic biography of St. Francis. I also recommend the biography of G.K. Chesterton for those. It's a much shorter and a much more concise version of the life of St. Francis, and I recommend both of those. We'll be drawing on the resources, certainly Father Cuthbert, for some of the texts of the mission this week. But also in thematically at the moment is in the era of mercy, this era, this year that we're, the Holy Father has declared a year, jubilee year. And I would like to put that in the context of the authentic reforms of our founder, St. Francis of Assisi, and see how through a real understanding of this prophetic saint in the history of our tradition can speak to us about our current moment and our own struggles about how to deal with the struggles of life today and reform. And so I'm entitling the mission this week, St. Francis and the Holy Wounds of Our Lord, the True Source of the Mercy of God. Because of his wounds, his sacred precious blood was spilled, and you have the opportunity to see the face of God. That is Christianity in a nutshell. Of course, many Christians are aware of this. Too few ponder it profoundly or dwell into the depth of that spirituality of the Holy Wounds. Of course, we Catholics have always meditated on our Lord's Passion. Every Mass is a representation of his sacrifice at Calvary. And in addition, the Stations of the Cross, certainly during the Lenten season, the devotions and the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary remind us of what he suffered, what he went through for us. But we have also in our tradition another devotion available to us, and one that will help us meditate perhaps more concretely on the mercy of God through his sufferings, devotion to his five sacred wounds. Honor is shown these sacred wounds in many small ways too, from the five grains of incense inserted into the paschal candle to the custom of dedicating each pater said in the Dominican rosary to one of the five wounds. And they are symbolized in art, the wounds, by the Jerusalem cross, Five circles on a cross, five roses, a five-pointed star. They're seen as symbolizing many things in nature as well. The stamens of the passion flower, the five seeds found in the almost perfect five-point symbol in a cross-section of an apple, the sand dollar and such, and they're all little devotional prayers associated with those. But the five main wounds that our Lord suffered through his feet, the two wounds in his feet, the wound in each hand, the wound in his side, caused by St. Longinus' lance, are symbolic of all the wounds, and special devotion rose to them very early on in the history of the Church. St. John the Divine is said to have appeared to Pope Boniface II in the year 532 AD and revealed a special mass, a set of propers to him that is traditionally called the Golden Mass. It's in honor of our Lord's five wounds. And it is the effect of these five wounds that are most often produced in the bodies of the men and women who have imitated him most profoundly in the history of the Church. The first of these being St. Francis of Assisi. In the year 1224, St. Francis was wrapped in meditation upon our Lord's Passion on Mount Avernia in the beautiful Umbrian countryside, and a six-winged seraph appeared and left branded on his body, the first time in the history of the Church and history that a human being was marked with the wounds of our Lord's Passion. And so because of that experience and the wounds that St. Francis bore for the last 2 years of his life, a special devotion to these arose from within the order. His greatest spiritual daughter, St. Clare of Assisi, wrote a beautiful litany on the five wounds because of this, and we'll pray some of those, that litany, during the course of the mission. But also, not just the idea of what happened to St. Francis of Assisi, but the preaching of the Franciscans then became characterized by meditating upon the wounds of Jesus, the wounds of our Lord's Passion. And the greatest theologian of the Franciscan order, St. Bonaventure of Bagnareggio, will be part of our mission. He has some very profound and insightful quotes that we're going to look at during the course of the mission. St. Bonaventure spoke about the sacred wounds of our Lord being the opening for us, that in other words, the actual way that we have access to the saving significance of Calvary was through these sacred wounds. And so Bonaventure meditates very beautifully on this reality. Bonaventure, St. Bonaventure, we refer to as the seraphic doctor, the Franciscans, as opposed to the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas of the Dominicans. And so we'll look at some of the work of St. Bonaventure in terms of his meditations. There were other wounds, of course, that our Lord suffered during the course of his agony and his passion. And they've been reflected on beautifully by various spiritual authors, but they are very significant theologically as well. In fact, we know that Padre Pio, whose relics now lie in state at the moment at the Vatican Basilica in Rome, suffered also the wounds. He had them from 1918 till he died in 1968. And when people would ask Padre Pio what was the most painful of the wounds, he always said the shoulder, where our Lord carried the cross. And so there are very significant meditations upon the other wounds that our Lord suffered, not the least of which is the crown, which we're going to talk about on Friday. We'll look at the first five and the first 4 days of the week. But we'll exploring the texts of these primary sources and giving some inspiration for us about a reform in our own day. The first that we'll look at is the wound in the side, the heart of Christ, the Church. And the question for us on Monday night will be, why be Catholic? It's a very important question, not only in our culture, but all throughout the world. It's very important to have a thought out response to that. And perhaps we're going to draw deeply on the tradition and give some responses to that question and reflect on some of them, even from the perspective of St. Francis' own deeply held Catholic faith and his insistence in the rule about the friars being Catholics, and why that was so significant in his age and how it applies to our own. And so this very important question on Monday night, why be Catholic? On Tuesday night, we'll look at the wound in the right hand, the hand with which we feed ourselves. We'll look at the Holy Mass, prayer and devotion. And for those of you who are interested in the traditional Mass, this will be a very interesting night because not well known, perhaps many, one of the things that's not known about St. Francis, among the many things not known about him, is that he had a tremendous impact not only on the devotional life of the church, but on the liturgical life of the church. When St. Francis was a boy, the public form of the church's Mass was not what we celebrate this morning. It was a French form of Mass called the Gallican Rite, which was the standard form of public prayer for the church throughout the Middle Ages. And St. Francis would have grown up attending Mass in that form. And this particular form that we sometimes refer to as the Tridentine Mass, of course, all those who love this Mass and know something of its history know that it long predated Trent, the Council of Trent. The Council of Trent did not invent this ritual for the Mass. It long predated the Council of Trent. But we'll talk about why it's called the Tridentine Mass, etc., as well a little bit. But nevertheless, it's believed to have been by the church gone back to the earliest apostolic period. And during the time of St. Francis, it was referred to as the ancient Roman Rite or the Mass of St. Peter. And so as Francis was beginning to form the new community in 1215, when he approached Pope Innocent III, he was given the privilege of adopting this particular rite of Mass for the new order. And it's a very fascinating history, but because of the popularity of St. Francis in the 13th century and beyond, and for other various reasons, it was really St. Francis of Assisi who rescued this particular form of Mass from obscurity in the Middle Ages and made it more prominent. And then, of course, a Dominican, beautiful Dominican, Pope Pius, St. Pope Pius V, universalized it again after the Council of Trent. But we'll go into some more details on Tuesday night. It'll be a very interesting night. And I also have a bibliography for those who are interested in doing more reading about that for your own information and edification. And we'll provide both of those on that night. That's Tuesday. On Wednesday, the left hand, or as we say in Italian, sinistra, will look at the role of sin, repentance, and mercy, and give some practical thoughts about how to overcome habits of sin, patterns of sin in our life, so that we can really truly enter into the Paschal season, the Easter season this year, because for some of us, this may be our last Lent. We don't know. God willing, we will all be there in Paschal time. But one of the things that we strive to do during the Lenten season is to uproot habits of sin in our life. And so we'll give some practical thoughts about how to overcome habits of sin and what the role of true repentance and mercy is in the life of reform, because reform begins inside. St. John of the Cross, beautiful meditations on the discernment of spirits, speaks beautifully about that. And so we'll look at the role of sin and repentance and mercy on Wednesday with the wound in the left hand. On Thursday, we'll look at the wounds in the feet, and we'll talk about evangelization and mission. And sometimes those of us who love the traditional Mass, and we don't think too much about going out to promote or how to do that, and also how to invite people to the tradition and also to the full measure of the Catholic faith. And we'll talk about the new enthusiasm for that, drawn on the that very prophetic image of St. Francis, who is a very manly, a very strong, dynamic figure from the 13th century, a very Italian disposition, but certainly not the pastel and almost effeminate image for which he's often portrayed these days, but we'll look at the real St. Francis and how we can draw on that tradition of our church for this enthusiasm for evangelization and mission. And then Friday, finally, we will look at the crown of thorns and we'll reflect on the glory of Jesus and Mary in a beautiful meditation. I'm honored to be with all you, all of you again, and I look forward to having you at the mission. And may God bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.